I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It is Thursday, July 29th. And on this episode, we will be looking at training camp news and notes with Cody Benjamin, mostly talking about Aaron Rodgers and his actual return to the Packers and his frankly open and honest discussion at his press conference about what is going on in Green Bay. If you want more Aaron Rodgers talk, along with the Sean Watson chatter, check out the feed. We have the Super Friends on Wednesday, and then Jonathan Jones on Tuesday, talking all Rodgers stuff, which frankly, I think we've done a good job of not talking too much Rodgers and then allowing it to actually happen. And we dive into it. By the way, today's Thursday, July 29th, as I mentioned, that means it is NBA draft day, and CBS Sports HQ is your home for Thursday night's event. We'll have pick by pick coverage, including grades and expert analysis for both rounds. How to watch HQ? Glad you ask. You can watch on CBS Sports app on your phone. It actually even pops out. It's one of those, like, some of those apps aren't good about it, about popping out the video. CBS Sports, good about it. You can watch and then scroll Twitter to watch the picks get spoiled and then analyzed on the app, or just text with your friends about, OMG, I can't believe Scotty Barnes went fourth overall. Brinson made so much money. Let's go. You can also watch using the CBS Sports app on your connected TV, and you can watch on your computer via our NBA Draft Tracker page, which will be easily available on the CBSSports.com main site. It's also free and features our good friends Gary Parrish, Matt Norlander, Avery Johnson, Bill Ryder, and Rip Hamilton. So don't forget, NBA draft coverage tips off at 7:30 p.m. on CBS Sports HQ tonight. Cody Benjamin, what's up, buddy?
I'm happy to be here. We finally got stuff to talk about. Like, I know we've been talking about Aaron Rodgers forever, but like, so writing the newsletter every week, I feel like it was starting to get to the point where we're a little bit stretched for content. And then all of a sudden, training camp started and there's an overabundance. So it's good. It's good.
Yeah. Obviously, we would have to take the pulse of the podcast listeners, and maybe Debo would have a better idea of this. Again, I feel like the offseason's gone fast, yeah, which is odd considering when we went into the offseason, I thought this Rodgers stuff as well as the Watson stuff would just be chewing up every day of our lives and become so obnoxious that we just wouldn't be able to deal with it by the time we got to a resolution. I felt like it went kind of fast. And I do feel like, and you listen to the podcast, and you're on the podcast a ton, by the way. I mean, just nuking your way to purple status on this podcast. But that's a reference to something else. But I feel like we haven't talked Rodgers, like we haven't been aggressively talking Aaron Rodgers this offseason. Am I crazy?
No, I don't think so. It's also like it has been spread out a bit. I mean, he's done his public appearances, and he doesn't besides today or yesterday when he talked in his press conference and was very candid about the situation and what this offseason was all about and his goals. He didn't really give that much. He kind of, you know, there were leaks through the media, but it was kind of spread out a bit. I don't think it was, I mean, it was hit appropriately enough. I mean, right. Yeah. So I think it helps.
Let's over aggressively talk about it now. We have to, because on Monday we recorded with JJ on Monday. It was released on Monday afternoon. We talked about, you know, the sort of breaking news that Rodgers was coming back. This thing unfolded really fast. I mean, you know, we thought it would be a couple, you know, additional days, but no, I mean, Rodgers was back and he was talking to the media at a press conference on Wednesday. Of course, you're listening on Thursday's podcast. But he said, this wasn't a draft day thing. I expressed a desire to be more involved in conversations about my job. Yet Green Bay isn't a huge vacation destination. People are coming here to play with me, play with our team, and knowing they can win a championship here. Aaron Rodgers flexing a bit. I said, I'm definitely not closing the door on anything when asked about playing for the Packers in 2022. I'm always optimistic in the ability to change. I'd never want anyone to give up on me. Asked about if he was, you know, sort of meh, coming to play for the Packers in 2021. Said, I wouldn't be here if I wasn't 100% all in. And then try to bury the media a little bit. Said the media loves to make stories when there's not enough content out there. He also, I heard him say that, you know, the majority, and I'm paraphrasing in a big way here, but the majority of players, you know, don't have input in what their teams are going to do. But he said there are a few exceptions to who should be allowed that. I don't know if he actually said me, but he basically said, Tom Brady, me, maybe he meant Russell Wilson too, deserve some input into how, what decisions are made as a team. What was your takeaway from Aaron Rodgers' press conference?
Yeah, I mean, I think there was a, there's a delicate balance he's trying to strike between, if you go back and watch his comments or just read what he said, there's a delicate balance between trying not to like be like, just let your ego take over in the press conference, sure, but also like establishing that he deserves, like what you said, I think he used the word outlier. He's one of those outliers. He said he's not asking for anything that the greatest quarterbacks in the NFL aren't already given, or excuse me, haven't been given over these past, you know, couple generations. So I think he's just trying to make it clear that he deserved more input in what Green Bay's doing.
And well, I would add too, I thought this is it. Tom Pelissero of NFL Media asked, and Tom is from Minnesota area, was he down in Green Bay now, was asked him, what was this all about for you? And Roger said, I mean, that's kind of a loaded question. I think it was a lot of things that transpired. I'm going to read a slightly lengthy quote. He goes on for four pages. I'm just going to read like a quick paragraph and maybe allow you to get some water, Cody, if you are so inclined.
Yeah, it's like allergies or something, you know? It's that season.
I know. This wasn't a draft day thing. Started the conversation in February after the season ended, and I just expressed my desire to be more involved in conversations that directly affected my job. Also, I wanted to help the organization maybe learn from some of the mistakes in the past, in my opinion, about the way some of the outgoing veterans were treated and just the fact that we didn't retain a number of players I felt like were core players to our foundation, our locker room. And this is Aaron Rodgers' direct quote. High character guys. I'm talking about... Hold on. Charles Woodson, Jordy Nelson, Julius Peppers, Clay Matthews, Randall Cobb, James Jones, John Kuhn, Brett Good, TJ Lang, Brian Bulaga, Casey Hayward, Micah Hyde. That's a lot of names. Guys who were exceptional players for us, great locker room guys, high character guys, many of them whom weren't offered a contract at all or extremely lowballed or were maybe, in my opinion, not given the respect on the way out that guys of their status and stature and high character deserved. And then it kind of progressed from there to a commitment for the 2021 season beyond that really wasn't given at the time. So Rodgers also pointed out that you wouldn't want to be a lame duck quarterback and a lot of other stuff. And yeah, look, this is what I like about Aaron Rodgers is he says what he says well, he doesn't always say what he means, but he's willing to speak his mind. You know, sometimes he's a little coy about some stuff, but he makes his message clear, even if it's passive aggressive and snarky, which I also appreciate because I'm a passive aggressive snarky person.
Yeah, I know he took the shot at the media, but honestly, like so much of his candidness in this conversation confirmed so many of those reports that were over the last few months, but at least they confirmed him. At least he was being open and honest. And, you know, he was upfront, like you said, he's not going to return to the Packers this year if he's not committed. He was upfront. Like, so a good example was the coaching process or the hiring process for Matt LaFleur. He admitted that he was never consulted about hiring Matt LaFleur. Now, sure, he made it clear that he's a fan of Matt LaFleur. He likes working with him. He likes him as his head coach, but that still rubbed him the wrong way, the way that process went. And so there were a lot of, I guess, frank anecdotes like that throughout his press conference. And I thought it was interesting going back to that point about just kind of towing the line between like inflating his ego and getting the Packers to respect who he is. He talked about guys like you mentioned, Jordy Nelson, guys that left. And a reporter, I think, pointed out, like, you might have been wrong about some of those personnel decisions because they left and they didn't do too well elsewhere. And he said, like, well, maybe a Jordy Nelson put up better numbers if he had me as his quarterback, kind of a thing. And I think it's a fair point. I mean,
sure.
On the flip side, like, yes, those guys probably didn't need huge deals to come back, but he said they were willing to take pay cuts. So again, this is all about just establishing his place, his voice, I guess, in that organization.
I also think too, when you talk about, you know, he has the benefit of, I mean, I don't know, I guess he could have used the benefit of hindsight a little bit better there, because a lot of those guys didn't play particularly well in other places and ended up being cap casualties. And none of, you know, we had, shoot, last year we had Jordy Nelson on our, he was doing a Fantasy Football Today stream. So maybe he wouldn't have been playing professional football if he's doing a, if he's doing a stream with me and Adam Azer. You know, that, I mean, you do the math on that one. But I mean, I do think what Rodgers, what it felt like to me is Rodgers flexing on the organization, on the general manager Brian Gutekunst, not so much on Matt LaFleur, because as you point out, he likes working with Matt LaFleur, but I don't blame him for wondering why he's not being asked about the situation, asked about the coaching situation when he's going in, when he just, you know, signs his contract, he's going into all this. I mean, I don't begrudge Rodgers for that. So I thought it was a really interesting discussion. He also, by the way, looks like he should be the lead singer for the Black Crowes or something, or some, like, or like he's performing as a solo act on Horde Fest in 1994. I mean, his hair's long. He's like skinny. I don't know. He looked a little, didn't look like Aaron Rodgers, did he?
I think some of the Instagram pictures of him vacationing were even more, like, he looked pretty, I mean, like, I'm a skinny guy. I can't play quarterback in the NFL, but he looked pretty skinny too. Yeah, so.
He looks pretty. I was like, I don't know if he looks pretty. My wife,
well, I mean, some people would say that, but
I mean, my wife came down and was like, what's wrong with him? Is he okay? I was like, yes, don't worry about it.
But yeah, I think it's exactly. I think you're exactly right in terms of framing it. Like, he's flexing on the Packers, and if he's going to come back and play for him, he might as well do it. And I think there's merit to some of the things he said. Like, he's got so many years in that locker room. He can at least offer a unique perspective in personnel decisions and other decisions. And I think he said, he doesn't want final say. He just wants to be included in the conversations, which, of course, that's understandable. I still don't, like, I think it's pretty clear, even though he said he's open to finishing his career with the Packers, I think we can both agree a departure after the season is still very possible, if not likely. So
extremely likely.
Yeah.
And it complicates things with Davante Adams as well, because Davante Adams was...
He was very frank as well. I mean, I was a little bit surprised that he made himself sound like he will not take anything less than being paid as the top receiver in the NFL. I mean, he said that.
He said, quote, I've earned the right to be paid the highest in the league. He was, because he was asked, having Rodgers around in 2022. And so this is where it gets interesting too, because if you're the Packers, like, Davante Adams is one of the best receivers in football, if not the best receiver in football. I mean, he's up there. You know, you can nitpick whether you want with, you know, Stephon Diggs, DeAndre Hopkins, you know, whoever, you can do whatever you want. But Davante Adams deserves a place in the discussion as the number one, Tyreek Hill, as the number one wide receiver in football. When you're the Packers and you offer him a contract, his decision is going to be predicated on his quarterback. I mean, not entirely, but, you know, if you offer him the most money any wide receiver's ever made in the history of football, maybe he's more likely to sign without a quarterback there. But if you're trying to work out a deal that is fair and equitable for both parties, he's going to want to know where Aaron Rodgers is. Like, Aaron Rodgers helped make Davante Adams. Davante Adams is still a great player regardless, but, you know, he's not going to be as good without Aaron Rodgers. And so, yes, of course. I mean, well, I guess, if Rodgers stayed in 2022, he's not going to take less. In general, he's just going to have to be the highest paid wide receiver in football. And so I think the Rodgers thing complicates all that, because maybe he's less, like, he's less willing to, you know, help them massage the salary cap or do whatever they want to do if Rodgers isn't there.
Yeah, and I think it's not a coincidence that, like, all offseason, Davante Adams has had Aaron Rodgers' back. I mean, at every turn when there's been an Aaron Rodgers piece of news surface, Davante Adams has been there to kind of back his quarterback. You know, throw his own future with the Packers into doubt when Aaron Rodgers' future is in doubt. And so I don't think it's a coincidence that right after Aaron Rodgers goes up and basically, like, gets free rein to just, like, rip into his own GM of the team he's coming back to. And he did it, like, in a respectful manner, but he was very frank. And I think it's no coincidence Davante Adams goes right up afterward and he's not playing games either. I mean, he sees his value. He thinks that the Packers should see his value just like they should see the number one quarterback's value. And they're going to have to pay up. I mean, they're going to have to commit financially, just like Aaron Rodgers wants them to do. I guess, you know, I don't know that Devontae Adams cares as much about getting input on, you know, the fifth receiver getting caught in training camp. But it's the same thing. They're kind of, I don't want to say they're a package deal, but it's close to that in terms of, you know, where they're going to end up in 2022.
Adams also pointed out, what other profession do you take less than what you have earned? That's not how it works. He's not wrong. In theory, you should get what you should get paid what you're worth. And Adams is not a guy who's looking for, obviously, you know, a late career contract where, you know, I've been great for 15 years, pay me on my way out. No, he's saying, hey, I am the best wide receiver in football right now. Pay me. Also in wide receiver news, we have the return of Randall Cobb to the Green Bay Packers. He tweeted, I'm back, baby, or something along those lines. I kind of count this in the Rodgers flex portion of the program where, and maybe Rodgers isn't wrong. I think Rodgers is trying to make a point with this Cobb thing. He wants his buddy. By the way, I think Randall Cobb drafted in 2012. Is that right? I was in Radio City Music Hall when he was drafted. So it's one of the first 2 years that I was in there. He was either 2011 or 2012. He's been around for 2011. I mean, he's the oldest AJ Green and Julio Jones. He's the oldest dirt. He's the oldest Cam. He's been in the league as long as Cam Newton. He's been in the league. He's been covering he's been in the league as long as I've been covering it. He's old as dirt, Cody.
I think it's I confirm it. Yes. I mean, he spent a year in Dallas, kind of forgotten guy in Dallas. He went to Houston. I think it's an example of, I think it's like a Tom Brady thing. I mean, it's one of those like, hey Gronk, do you want to come out of retirement and come play for the Bucks? I mean, it's not exactly comparable, but I just think it's like a little cherry on top of the statement that I have a say, or I should have a say, with what this team is doing. Now, like, this wasn't going out to get Julio Jones. So this wasn't like we're bringing the whole band, like we're not bringing, you know, reuniting the entire Packers Super Bowl team. But it's, yeah, I think it's a comfort thing. Like, they drafted Amari Rodgers to possibly be the slot receiver. He might be better than Randall Cobb at some point this year, but there's a safety valve there for Aaron Rodgers. It's at a position that has often gone unaddressed in these recent years for the Packers. So, yeah, he gets a good friend, a guy that he considers one of those high-character guys that maybe didn't get the classy exit he deserved. And it helps the receiving core. I think it's the equivalent of, yeah, like Tom Brady saying, hey, let's go get this random receiver or running back that I played with, like Antonio Brown, something of that, you know, of that tier.
It feels like a homeless man's Tom Brady move. He's like, right. No, I am getting the guys I want on this team. I don't care if he's old as dirt. And maybe they do need a slot receiver. Maybe that offense needs some guy to operate from the slot.
At the very worst, like at the very least, it's a backup plan for Amari Rodgers. I mean, you've got your outside guys. They haven't had a sure slot receiver there. I mean, if Amari Rodgers works, great. He can play more. But if not, Randall Cobb is there. And I would draft him in the late rounds of fantasy or something. I mean, he's going to get targets from Aaron Rodgers if he's on the field.
For sure. And look, I mean, if you're Aaron Rodgers, you wanted to let the world know. There's one way to let the world know that you didn't cave, that the Packers caved. And that's to come back with some contract changes and to get them to trade for a guy with a dumb contract, one of the worst contracts in football, from a team that is desperately needs wide receiver help. And, you know, to give up something for Randall Cobb.
Exactly.
That's how you let everybody know that you're flexing on the Packers. So,
yeah, I mean, it's clear, like there's no mistaking that it's an Aaron Rodgers directive. Like there's just no mistaking that is coming from him. And yeah, like all offseason, the Packers cap is so tight, they can't add receivers. And now because Aaron Rodgers is more in charge, Randall Cobb is coming back in and reworking the deal to do it.
That is correct. All right, let's take a break and we come back. More training camp news and notes. The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance,
Clutch Athletics and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives, you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. I wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Xavien Howard of the Miami Dolphins, one of the best cornerbacks in professional football, led the league with 10 interceptions last year, decided to post on Instagram on Tuesday afternoon that he is going to show up to camp, but he's just there. So to quote Marshawn Lynch, he won't get fined. He actually quoted Marshawn Lynch in that. I loved it. He says that the Dolphins have not negotiated with him in, quote, good faith. I don't feel valued or respected by the Dolphins, Howard said. Just like they can take a business-first approach, so can I. I feel like, what are you and I talking about?
Yes.
Okay. See, it all blends together in the offseason, Cody, but I didn't remember that. We talked about the fact that it was kind of crazy Xavien Howard wanted a new contract. And it is to a degree, but he's paid less than Byron Jones, who probably not as good a cornerback as Xavien Howard. And Howard basically feels like the Dolphins are handling things poorly and now wants a trade away from Miami. He is the sixth highest paid cornerback by average approximate value, or annual approximate value, excuse me, in the 2021 season, behind Jalen Ramsey, Marlon Humphrey, Trey White, Darius Slay, and his teammate Byron Jones. Have you changed your mind on Xavien Howard's sort of thought process here? What do you think about the trade request, and do you think he ends up getting moved?
Yeah, so I don't think my stance has changed very much at all since we last talked about it. And I think we both agreed that it's one thing if you're Stephon Gilmore and you're at the end of a contract where you are obviously underpaid. You're approaching free agency. You deserve a new deal. It's another if you're, 2 years removed from signing a five-year extension and you want a complete, you basically want to reset the market or something close to that. I mean, I think we talked about last time, I think it's more likely that Byron Jones and probably Darius Slay among that group are overpaid than the fact that Xavien Howard is that underpaid. So I think that, yes, the Dolphins are obviously overpaying for Byron Jones, but that doesn't mean, I could certainly, I get the argument that he deserves as much or if not more, whether that's a salary bump this year, whether it's more guaranteed money, something to make him more equivalent to Byron Jones. I get that. But the fact that he signed the extension 2 years ago, not 4 years ago, 2 years is a long time in the NFL, but still to sign a five-year extension 2 years ago, he's not even into that, that deep into that contract yet. And so at the end of the day, I don't think he gets moved, because if his desire is to play on a contract bigger than this, I'm not sure who's giving him that at this moment. I looked at the teams with the salary cap space. I know you can push it down the road, but I don't know who you're looking at there. The 49ers, the Colts, I'm not sure who's giving up premium assets and a huge contract for him at this point. If he's showing up not to get fined, I think he's going to keep showing up. And then it's a matter of whether he decides to suit up in week one. I just think Brian Flores doesn't seem overly worried about getting him back. Despite the contract dispute, I think they'll figure out a way to keep him.
Yeah. I mean, the problem is Xavien Howard
I don't want to say he signed a bad contract because he got his he got a lot of money up front. And I think it was probably his directive to go ahead and get money. And additionally, you know, you signed this contract, as we pointed out, before the pandemic. You know, that's a good thing. You got a bunch of money that probably wasn't going to be there for. I mean, he still would have gotten paid anyway, but maybe it's reduced, you know, because of all the things going on in the country. I don't think that's unreasonable to suggest. When you look at the deal on the final 3 years, I mean, the Dolphins can get out of it easily after 2021 if they wanted to. And so because his cap hit is 14,375, so it's 13,500 cap hit this coming year, 14,375, 13,400, 12,250 with almost no dead money. I sort of think there'd be a team willing to give it up. I mean, we're talking about, you know, oh God, he is sneaky old though. He's already 28 years old. I don't know anybody's giving up like a multiple first or anything like that. This is not the Jalen Ramsey deal. I do think there will be a team out there who might be willing to hand out to give up a first round pick for a cornerback that they feel like could put him over the top. I mean, I think that is possible.
And you think the Dolphins would be willing to do that? I know that they've been like trade happy sometimes, but
I mean, sort of feels a little bit like Minka Fitzpatrick 2.0. Yeah. It's just weird how Brian Flores can't get along with these players.
Yeah, I mean, I think also like Xavien Howard, maybe time changes this, or maybe I'm wrong on this, but I know Xavien Howard's representation, I know he's changed representation, but like dating back to last season, like during the season, they were like casually floating the idea of like he'd be okay getting moved, he'd be okay getting traded. And so I don't like this has been a negotiating tactic for them for a while from his camp. And so I don't know if it's the same thing, like he's going to show up to camp. He's going to say, hey, I want to move out of here, but he might end up showing up anyway. I think like with the contract stuff, we talked about it before. I mean, same thing with Danielle Hunter, and the Vikings did reward him a little bit. But if you're going to sign an extension that early, like you've got to look out at the market that's coming, and they didn't. So,
well, part of the problem too is, again, you know, I mentioned those dead cap numbers, $2.8 million in 2022, $1.4 in 2023. The issue is if something bad happens to you, or you get hurt or something, you know, whatever the case may be, you are easily cuttable.
Yeah.
That's the problem, is that you got all this guaranteed money when you sign the deal. And that's the give and take that I think it's hard to look long-term, especially when you're younger. You know, you signed this deal at age 25 and now you're 28. And that's a big 3 years from a maturation perspective. Any adult human being will tell you that. And it's probably likely that now he says, oh, I wish that this had been a deal that guaranteed, like that $14,375 million next year is not guaranteed at all. I mean, you know, you got very little guaranteed money left on the deal, so the Dolphins can move on. I understand that he wants to respect and believes that he, you know, the problem is if he plays out his contract, he gets to the age of, you know, 30, and presumably he wouldn't play out the entire deal, but I guess if he gets to the age of 31, he's not getting some monster deal. You know, so he is probably looking at this as, oh man, I need to get one more big bite of the apple in my prime by renegotiating my contract. And the Dolphins are taking the stance of, hey, look, we're not doing this because if that sets a precedent whereby every person we give a contract to is going to try and renegotiate after 2 years. So I understand where both sides are coming from. You know, I do think I sort of always fall in the stance of get as much money as you can possibly get while you can get it for NFL players. But if you signed a deal 2 years, you know, 2 years ago or 3 years ago, it's tough to take that stand. Now, what do you think about Deshaun Watson, a first round pick? No, Deshaun Watson for Tua, Xavien Howard, and a first round pick. Who says no to that?
Did you just come up with this on the spot?
I'll give credit to Adam Beasley for it.
Okay, so Deshaun Watson.
I had seen Beez's tweet, friend of the podcast, Adam Beasley, now works for Pro Football Network. Getting too much run on this podcast. But he just mentioned it. It does sort of make sense.
So you said Deshaun?
Deshaun.
For.
Texans give up Deshaun in exchange for Xavien Howard, Tua Tagovailoa, and a future, and one of the Dolphins' 2022 first-round picks.
Yeah, I don't think it's a bad – I mean, of course, and I know you've prefaced every Deshaun Watson conversation with the, you know, of course, the off-field stuff has to be solved.
Assuming the off-field stuff is sorted out.
Right. From a football perspective, I feel like it's a pretty fair trade. I mean, because if you are the Texans and Tua doesn't – like, you're going to have another shot at getting a quarterback. And if you're the Dolphins, let's say the off-field stuff, like – Deshaun Watson suspended half a year. He's suspended a season. You've got that extra pick from Miami. I don't think it's a, I mean, and obviously Houston would welcome any talent at any position. Xavien Howard would be a huge upgrade at corner. So I mean, they're not going to be ready to compete by the time Xavien Howard's out of that deal.
That's sort of what I was thinking too. It's like, you have to trade for Xavien Howard and then give him a big new deal. And then he's still 30. He's like 33 by the time for the Texans. If I'm the Texans, regardless of how I think my timeline is for me building this team out, and you have to realize that the team's not ready right now, even frankly, with Deshaun Watson playing 16 games, they've admittedly said they want to trade him. I don't know that Xavien, I think a future first round pick fits that timeline better than Xavien Howard would. So that's where it becomes like, I would rather get two first round picks and Tua back.
Oh, definitely.
Xavien Howard too, in a first round pick.
Yeah. I mean, I think you'd swap out. Yeah. There's very few veteran players. I mean, you want the picks to rebuild that foundation. I mean,
if you're a team that's competing this year.
Oh yeah.
Xavien Howard's, you know, a better asset than a future first round pick maybe. But you know, if we're talking Miami or.
How about the Seahawks? Can they swing that? I don't know if they
everything. Jamal Adams for Xavien Howard. Who says no? Actually, who does say no there?
Actually, yeah, I would say, I mean.
Probably Miami, because they don't want to give Jamal Adams $20 million a year, right?
But they could use, I mean, they could use a safety, right? I mean, they could definitely, let's do that.
I don't know if that ends up happening.
Okay.
All right, I'll tell you what. We'll tease Jamal Adams for tomorrow, because we've gotten enough meat on this bone with Aaron Rodgers and then the Dolphins discussion. There'll be more training camp news and notes to follow tomorrow with the Super Friends on Friday's show. We'll break down maybe Jamal Adams' holdout, what to do with Michael Thomas and Odell Beckham, much more. Cody Benjamin, as always, buddy, a pleasure.
Thanks for having me on, bro.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.